Hare Krishna. So we are all here by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a line through which the mercy comes to us, beginning with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one after the other through parampara, or disciplic succession. But 500 years ago, Lord Krishna himself came again in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, in the form of a devotee, to show us how to be devotees. 5,000 years ago, when Krishna came in his original form, he instructed in the Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Madhubhakto, always think of me and become my devotee. But how to always think of Krishna and become his devotee was shown personally by Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He quoted one verse from the Brihadaranyaka Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinami, the Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranita. One should chant the holy name, chant the holy name, chant the holy name of Hari, Krishna. There is no other way, no other way, no other way for success in the present age of Kali. He also desired and predicted Prithivi Teya Cheja To Nagarati Gram Sarvatra Prachor Hoibe Marnam, that the chanting of the holy name of Krishna would be propagated in every town and village of the world. So this desire and prediction was made at a time when no one could really imagine or even believe how it could happen. But in the 1800s, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur began the effort to spread the holy name of Krishna to countries outside India. He wrote a small book called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His Life and Precepts. And he dispatched that book to libraries throughout the world. And in recent years, disciples of Srila Prabhupada have found copies of that book in libraries at McGill University, in Canada, in different libraries, even in Australia. And he also yearned for the day that the devotees of India or Bengal would be united with devotees from different countries like England, America, Japan, Russia, in the holy land of Mayapur, Navadvip, and together chant the holy names of Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very powerful spiritual master, acharya. After the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, many unscrupulous people who claimed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced many concocted philosophies and practices and even illicit activities to the extent that people in Bengal, if they heard the name Vaishnav, they had a very bad impression. Very bad impression. They thought Vaishnav means some person of loose character who dons the garb of a saintly person and engages in all sorts of activities. So in this situation, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came forward, and he presented the true understanding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he spoke very openly against the deviant groups who had perverted or distorted the pure teachings of Mahaprabhu and pure practices. And he had many projects. Although he was a householder and had many children, one of whom was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he was like a magistrate, which is a very high position in the British rule of India, the highest position that an Indian could hold, and such positions were very rarely held by Indians. So he had very great responsibilities in the government service, and he had a large family, but still his main interest was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan movement. So he would rise early in the morning and as he would chant, he did everything, wrote books, just slept a little at night. And he had such a tremendous impact on the people of mainly Bengal and Orissa, and including the intelligentsia, who were just coming in touch with modern ideas from the West, that the true mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revived, and people accepted it, and the deviant groups were pushed back. They lost a lot of their influence. So having undertaken such a tremendous responsibility and having executed it so successfully, but still being surrounded by so many forces that had interests in covering the true purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of their own personal interests, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was at a loss who would carry forward his mission. And he prayed to Krishna to send someone, to send one of his own associates from the spiritual realm into the material world to continue the work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it is understood that the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the answer to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers. There are many incidents from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's early life that indicate that he was that person sent by Krishna. When he was just a baby, during the Rath Yatra ceremony in Puri, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was posted in Puri, and as part of his duties was the superintendent of the Jagannath temple. So during the Rath Yatra festival, the chariot halted in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's home, and his wife, Bhagavati Devi, took the opportunity, being his wife, to carry the baby up onto the chariot. And when she did so, a garland from Lord Jagannath fell down onto the baby as a sort of blessing. So he had a very he understood his father's mission and worked with him together to fulfill it. And his father initiated him into the chanting of the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But according to etiquette, and there is good reason, a father does not actually give diksha to his son. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to approach Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, who was a great Mahabhagavata, liberated soul, self-realized soul, for diksha. But Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was a very renounced, and he was not interested in accepting disciples. He just wanted to immerse himself in the chanting of the holy names and hearing of scripture. And he didn't want to take the responsibility for having disciples. But still, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati approached him, and at first Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj avoided him. He said that he would have to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So some time passed, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta returned to him and asked, did you speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I forgot. So then after some time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta returned again and again asked, and Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj said, well, he hasn't given permission. So then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta quoted a line from a song by his father, by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, addressed to the Vaishnav, that Na karuno haile, if you are not merciful to me, kandiya kandiya, I will simply weep, prananara kiboara, and I will not be able to maintain my life. So when Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj understood how sincere and serious Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was, he accepted him as a disciple, his only disciple. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati undertook a vow to chant 1 billion holy names of Krishna, which he would achieve by chanting 300,000 a day. That's a lot of japa. For us, Srila Prabhupada has fixed the minimum number of 16 rounds a day. And that takes most devotees around 2 hours a day. But if one is experienced and proficient, he can chant faster, but still 2 hours a day, maybe hour and a half. So that's for 16 rounds. 4 times 16 rounds is 64 rounds. That's considered 1 lakh of names. At our rate, that would be 8 hours a day. And 3 times 64 rounds, that would be 300,000. And at our rate, that would be 24 hours a day. But I think they were proficient. But it's a lot of rounds. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur constructed a hut, thatched hut, and he would live very simply in that hut and chant day and night. And it was just a thatched hut, not very strong. And if it would rain and water would seep through the roof, he would just put up an umbrella and continue, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare. So to complete this vow, doing 3 lakhs a day, every day, 300,000 a day, 30 days in a month. Anyway, it took him more than 9 years. It took him more than 9 years. But even then, he would go out, although his main occupation was chanting, but still he would go out to preach. He would accompany his father to important programs. And he did a lot. He did a lot. And there was one program in particular, because one of the groups that had a stranglehold on many of the people in Bengal were the caste Brahmins. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur spoke very openly against them, because they asserted their rights to their exclusive right to perform rituals and so on the basis of birth without being qualified. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached quite openly on the subject, and of course there was a reaction from the Brahmins. And then a big meeting was scheduled to be held on the topic of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself was not born in a Brahmin family, and obviously his son was not either. Now this raises an interesting question, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, being a ray of Vishnu, being an associate of Krishna, being sent to the material world by the Supreme Will to preach, Krishna could have arranged for him to take birth in any family, in the highest class of Brahmin family with, you know, all the qualifications. But Krishna did not arrange that. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the reason the Lord does not do that, although obviously he could, is that if the pure devotee took birth only in a high-class Brahmin family and with all the advantages of education, culture, wealth, and so on, then ordinary people would feel discouraged. They would think, oh, well, I didn't take birth in a Brahmin family, I didn't have this advantage, I didn't have that advantage, what is the hope for me? So these great souls take birth in a variety of families to show us the example that anyone in any condition can become Krishna conscious, to give us hope that we also can be Krishna conscious. You don't have to be born in a Brahmin family, for example. So just on the eve of this major meeting to be held on this topic, it was like that, that the Brahmins had their own meeting in which, you know, one after the other speakers came forward and gave their version that you have to be born a Brahmin to be considered a Brahmin and so on. And so to counter their propaganda, another meeting was arranged in which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be the featured speaker. But on the eve of the program, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur fell ill, very ill. And so he sent his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And many of the caste Brahmins came to the meeting. And when they heard that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not coming, they were overjoyed. They thought, oh, without him, you know, we'll be able to just walk all over these people, you know, we'll trounce them. We'll trounce them. So they were elated. And a lot of them came. And the organizers weren't even sure whether they should let them in because they were afraid they might disturb the meeting. But Srila Saraswati Thakur said, no, let them in. Receive them as honored guests. So they came in. They were striding around, you know, as if they were the victors before the match had even begun. So eventually it became time for Srila Saraswati Thakur to speak, and he began. He was brilliant. He began by quoting various statements about the exalted position of Brahmins from scripture. So the caste Brahmins in the audience were very pleased. They were delighted. They thought, wow, like, we don't even have to say it ourselves. He's saying it, and he's saying it better than we could say it ourselves. They thought, wow, couldn't be better. And then Srila Saraswati Thakur began to quote verses from the scripture about the position of Vaishnavas, that Vaishnavas are even higher than Brahmins. And it doesn't matter in what kind of family one is born, but if one accepts the Vaishnav principles, he rises to a position even higher than that of Brahma. And the Brahmins in the audience were completely overwhelmed. They thought, there is no way that we can defeat this person because he's so brilliant and he supports everything he says with scripture. Now there's no way we can defeat them. So most of them sort of absconded, you could say. Anyway, there are many details. I brought this series of books here, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is a biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, compiled or written by one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples named Bhakti Vikash Swami, and I highly recommend it. So then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur felt assured that his mission is in capable hands, with his son, and his son will continue his cause. So Saraswati Thakur, he began to preach. He was fearless and very open in his criticism of anything that was false. And this book includes many quotations from Srila Saraswati Thakur, which are very relevant to us today. Of course, we received the same message from Srila Prabhupada. But Saraswati Thakur was a prodigious writer. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was too, in terms of scripture. But Srila Saraswati Thakur wrote and spoke on many contemporary topics, including the topic of how to present the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in one statement, he said that there are people who think that you should only say positive things but not negative things. I had the same experience when I went to Madras. I was just preaching the way I had heard Srila Prabhupada preach, and people reacted, even our friends. And people who were hosting me in their homes and supporting me said, don't criticize others. Just say positively what you want to do about, what you want to about your philosophy and your activities, but don't criticize others. So Srila Saraswati Thakur, he discusses this very topic, and he says that it is imperative to speak both what you positively about the truth and negatively about anything that is false. He said, because in Kali Yuga there's so much false propaganda, we have to be very clear. There cannot be any ambiguity in our message. We have to be very clear that this is right and this is wrong. There was a little incident when Srila Prabhupada demonstrated that quality. Srila Prabhupada had a friend named Dr. Patel in Bombay, who would always accompany Srila Prabhupada on his morning walks on Juhu Beach and discuss with him. Dr. Patel was quite literate. He knew Sanskrit and was quite smart. So one morning, Dr. Patel started to praise one of the respected popular religious figures of India. And Srila Prabhupada began to criticize him. And Dr. Patel became very offended. Said, how can you say that about him? And Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not saying. Krishna's saying. Namam duskritina mudha prapadyante naradama maya pridagyana asrim bhavam asrita. If you're not surrendered to Krishna, you're a miscreant in one of these categories. fool, rascal, demon. So, Dr. Patel became very agitated, and he was arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was arguing back, and Dr. Patel raised his voice, and Prabhupada raised his voice. And it was very tense and intense. And finally, Dr. Patel's friend sort of like dragged him away. It was like in the boxing ring, like when they ring the bell, but sometimes they just keep going at each other. And the referee, the people, they have to like tear them apart. It was like that. So then, for the first time in years, Dr. Patel stopped coming for the morning walks. And Prabhupada also said, okay, now no more discussion. We'll just read Krishna book. But after a couple of days, as Dr. Patel explains it, he had no plan to walk with Srila Prabhupada, but he was walking from one direction on the beach and Prabhupada was walking the other, and Dr. Patel said something in his heart just like drew him to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and he offered obeisances and he said, Prabhupada, I'm sorry, but you know, I've been taught to respect all the accredited saints of India. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes. And I have been taught to say who is a saint and who is not. And that he was taught by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. That you don't just say this is a saint, but if you have to, you say, this is not a saint. And that is the mercy of the Vaishnava. So people know what is what. Otherwise they can be misled and suffer. Another thing about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is that although he was so austere and so rigid, so strict with himself, but when it came to preaching, he was ready to spend any amount of money and do anything. And I remember when I first went to India, only very rich people could afford cars, and those cars were the local Indian manufactured Fiats and the Ambassadors. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had a limousine. He had a limousine back in the 1930s. And he dressed very nicely. I mean, he would have his dhoti and on occasion turban, but dressed very nicely. And again, as quoted in Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Mahabhav, he said that we will, referring to the Britishers and aristocracy in general, that we will dress better than they do. We will ride in better cars than they do. We will live in better buildings than they do, and we will have better furniture than they do. And then they will listen to us. Otherwise, they won't pay heed to us at all. So that was part of his strategy. And he used all means to broadcast the message of Krishna. He owned boats. He had disciples go out on boats, limousine. He had them make, I guess you could say, diorama exhibits, which at the time it was like the state of the art. the exhibitions are just huge. I mean, and then he built a big temple, marble temple, Bhagavasara Gaudiya Mata, on the banks of the Ganges. And the procession that brought the deities from the rented place they had to the new temple was huge. I mean, there are photographs of it. I mean, the streets were lined for miles with people. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, maybe a million people lined the streets. It was just huge, just really huge. And thousands of people were coming forward to become his disciples. He was a tremendously powerful and successful preacher, and he just fearlessly spoke the truth. I mean, successful as he was, he also had enemies, because he himself was the enemy of falsehood. And so people who were thriving on falsehood, they became his enemy. There are many incidents. One, I won't go into detail, but people threw, they attacked him and his party when they were doing Navadvip Parikrama. The caste Brahmins, they had, it turns out they had actually hired gundas or thugs, and they let loose with a volley of stones and boulders on the party, and they really wanted to take Saraswati Thakur's life. There were many attempts on his life, but one of the disciples very cleverly exchanged his dress for Saraswati Thakur's dress. So Saraswati Thakur wasn't dressed as a sannyasi, and it was a terrible, it looked like a massacre, but fortunately no one was killed. A lot of people were injured quite seriously and had to be taken to the hospital. So it was the darkest moment. But then what happened is, eventually it came out that this attack was organized and financed by the caste Goswamis. And so popular opinion, even in the intelligent class, turned against the caste Brahmins, because how could they do such a thing? And the superintendent of police in the district was sacked, removed from his position, and his replacement was ordered that henceforward, whenever Saraswati Thakur and his party come for parikrama, they should get full police protection. And later, someone asked Saraswati Thakur whether he would like to press charges against the culprits. And he said, no, they have done a yeoman's service. Without them, how could we have appeared on the front page of all the newspapers like we did? So he was like that, although he was the enemy of falsehood, but he was the well-wisher of everyone. even people who were inimical to him. So, in spite of his tremendous purity and potency and success as a preacher, there were disconcerting signs within his own institution that some of his leading disciples were becoming materially affected. Because there's so much opulence, so much facility, so much fame, so much respect, some of them became distracted. Instead of realizing that all of this was meant for the service of the Lord, just to help bring people to the Lord, they started to enjoy the respect, the honor, the facility, the opulence. And Srila Saraswati Thakur, he spoke very strongly. He made rules that the limousine should only be used for preaching, and he tried to curb their materialistic tendencies. Of course, he had many sincere disciples, no question, but some of the leading disciples did become materially affected, or who knows, maybe they had material motives from before they came to him. And so he became very distressed by this fact. He continued his activities with full enthusiasm. He continued to travel, preach, he was successful wherever he went. But still, he was disturbed within himself that some of his leading disciples had become so mundane. Then ultimately, at the age of 62, his health declined. He made some statements indicating that he would be leaving. Of course, the signs were there in his health. He was in Puri, which is a wonderful place, holy place, not only holy place, but warm place in December compared to Calcutta. But somehow in that very weakened condition, he wanted to return to Calcutta. So the disciples arranged for him to travel by train. There was one poignant account, a young boy, one of the sons of one of the devotees in Orissa, young boy, he was wanted to offer obeisances to Saraswati Thakur, and his father said, yes, you offer your obeisances, this may be the last time you see him. And in Calcutta, you know, the disciples brought all the best physicians, and they, one in particular, he was advising Saraswati Thakur, you have to rest more, you can't speak so much. And Saraswati Thakur proceeded to preach to him for 2 or 3 hours about the purpose of human life. And basically, he felt if he can't speak about Krishna, what's the use of living? We're only here on this planet for the sake of broadcasting the glories of Krishna. And then on after midnight, on December 31st, he left this world. And then his disciples took his body to Mayapur, and they established his samadhi in Mayapur. But his departure, he was such a huge figure. And that's another thing. The year before, in January of 1935, the governor of Bengal, Sir John Anderson, visited Mayapur. That was a really big thing. You know, because they were the rulers, Britishers, he was just one of the natives. But he came. That was very significant. So, anyway, it was declared a public day of mourning in Bengal. And
I think I'll read just one. The mayor
gave a very nice talk about Saraswati Thakur after he left. His final instructions are also very powerful. So this is what the mayor of Calcutta said. I rise to condole the passing away of His Divine Grace Paramahansa Sri Madhbhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, the President Acharya of the Gaudiya Math of Calcutta, and the great leader of the Gaudiya movement throughout the world. This melancholy event happened on the first day of this new year. Born in 1874, he dedicated his whole life to religious pursuits and dissemination of the cultural wealth of this great and ancient land of ours. An intellectual giant, he elicited the admiration of all for his unique scholarship, high and varied attainments, original thinking, and wonderful exposition of many difficult branches of knowledge. With invaluable contributions, he enriched many journals. He was the author of devotional literature of repute. He was one of the most powerful and brightest exponents of the cult of Vaishnavism. His utterances and writings displaying a deep study of comparative philosophy and theology. Catholicity of his views, soundness of his teachings, and above all, his dynamic personality and the irresistible force of the pure and simple life had attracted thousands of followers of his message of love and service to the Absolute, as propagated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He was the founder and guiding spirit of the Sri Chaitanya Math at Sri Mayapur, Nadia, and the Gaudiya Math of Calcutta, the Gaudiya movement, to which his contribution is no small one, has received a setback at the passing away of such a great soul. His departure has created a void in the spiritual horizon of India, which is difficult to be filled. So that void, that was a big void. that was a big boy. There was no one like him. Practically, there was no one like him before, and there was certainly no one like him afterwards. But then, in 1965, his humble Grihastha disciple, Abhay Charan Aravinda Das, who was later awarded sannyas by Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, he got on a steamer from Calcutta, came to New York, and began the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the West, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he embodied the teachings and the spirit and the potency of his Guru Maharaj, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Sarasvati Thakur. And he fulfilled that desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, that the holy name of Sri Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, be propagated in every town and village of the world. And Prabhupada also had that same spirit, using anything and everything in the service of the mission. Of course, he also made adjustments because he had his audience in his day. So he also made adjustments. But he also used modern technology, computers and personally airplanes. He traveled across the ocean. And that idea of the diorama exhibit had his disciples learned the art of Bengali doll making, and with all sorts of technology that was available at the time. They did the Fate Museum in Los Angeles, first American theistic exhibition. So it is continuing, but it's not easy. It's not easy to preach in Kali Yuga. Srila Sarasvati Thakur had many enemies. Srila Prabhupada also did. And Prabhupada said, big preaching means big enemies. You know, if you just, you know, stay at home, or just sort of like, I'm all right, you're all right. I'm good, I'm okay, you're okay, everything's okay. Well, you're not going to make many enemies, but you're not going to have much effect either. In fact, Srila Sarasvati Thakur had a Bengali phrase for that, which is basically, you keep quiet and I keep quiet. Like, I don't disturb you, you don't disturb me. But that was not his mood. That was not Srila Prabhupada's mood. And that should not be our mood. And of course, the holy name, the essence of everything, is the chanting of the holy names. So please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Louder, please. Oh yes, you're weak because no prasad. Still. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna.
Hare, Hare.
Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Rama, Rama.
Hare, Hare.
Hare, Hare.
So thank you very much. Yes?
I don't want to prolong the program, but I have a question about one of the points you mentioned about praising and criticizing and not telling the truth, in the name of telling the truth. I'll be specific. So, we're in California, and in California, people have severe misconceptions about spirituality. Like for example, I don't know what to say, for someone in Southern California to take their dog to Starbucks may be a spiritual experience. So this is what we face. And so how can you tell? And now that they are a little more acquainted, that you know some of the vocabulary of the Vaishnava tradition and so on has leaked into the suburban culture, like, you know, avatars and gurus and kirtan and so on. How can you encourage people by the using the via negativa as well? So how can you tell me? They say, oh yeah, I was in a great kirtan where the name of Krishna wasn't even chanted once. Or, you know, I had a great spiritual experience where there were no, God never came into the equation. So how do you deal with that?
This is a very good question. There's so many variables. One is your audience. In other words, if I'm giving a public talk and people are coming to hear me, then I should speak the truth, but in a way that considers the level of the audience and the mentality of the audience. But if you just happen to meet someone and they say, oh, I had such a spiritual experience. I was walking in the hills and the sun was setting and I took some deep breaths. And, you know, like they're not really... they're not approaching you as a spiritual authority. But even then, there are ways of bringing Krishna into the picture. And that's our challenge. That's our challenge, to bring Krishna into the picture. Because Srila Prabhupada also was in similar situations. Like when he was invited to Dr. Mishra's yoga ashram in upstate New York. Dr. Mishra was a Mayavadi. Of course, he was actually learned. He knew Sanskrit. But he was a Mayavadi. And the students there were his students. And they were being educated in his way. But still, Srila Prabhupada came and he charmed many of them. And many of them became his disciples. So just to give one example, you know, the ashram had very beautiful grounds. And so Srila Prabhupada went on a walk with one of the students. and he was like praising the beauty of the scenery, like, you know, see this beautiful, referring to the dress, a beautiful green carpet. And then at the end he brought it to Krishna. He said, all of this is made by Krishna. Just imagine how beautiful he is. So, but sometimes, see, the difference is this. You're like sort of meeting the victims of the cheaters. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati didn't challenge the victims, he challenged the cheaters. Of course, when you challenge the cheaters, they won't like it, and a lot of the victims won't like it because they're under the sway of the cheaters. I forget how it happened, but Kunti met the lady who's in charge of arranging programs at Yoga Soup. And how did it go? Before she actually met her, she overheard someone ask her about the Bhakti Fest, which is this big festival at Joshua Tree in January where so many people come and do kirtan. And so that lady who arranges all the kirtan programs at Yoga Soup, which is, I guess, the biggest or most popular of the yoga studios in Santa Barbara. So someone asked her, well, you know, at the Bhakti Fest, like, who should I hear? You know, who should I make a point of hearing? So she said, Gauravani as kindred spirits, and she said the Mayapuris. She named, and then she said, actually, any of the groups from ISKCON, they're the best ones to hear because they actually live the life of kirtan. Their whole life is kirtan. So any of the groups from kirtan, they'll be the best ones for you to hear. So people, you know, with some discrimination, they can tell the difference. Some people can't. And I would say, you know, say as much as you can. It's really hard to tell. Some people, I mean, Prabhupada really provoked people, even on an individual basis, and sometimes it had very good effects. Even his books, of course, that's the other thing, give them his books. Like one, there's so many I actually wanted to go back. There's one young man in San Diego, typical San Diego, Californian, American. Someone gave him a book, and he opened the book and said something like, you know, anyone who eats meat, takes intoxicants, has illicit sex and gambles, is nothing but an animal. That's the first thing you read. And like those, somehow those words just jumped out of the page, and he said, that's so true. That's true. I'm just living like an animal. So, You know, the thing about speaking the truth is that there aren't that many people that are interested in the truth. So a lot of people won't like it. But there are some few people that are interested in the truth. So that's another question. Do we want like a lot, you know, the idea like one moon is worth more than thousands of stars. But that said, you know, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, empowered acharyas, they could start with nothing and, you know, create huge spiritual movements. So we also, we can't imitate them, but we can and should follow in their footsteps. But usually one-on-one, I wouldn't. If you can get the person to come to a program and get a taste of kirtan and want to come back, then I think either give them a book or get them to come to a program. I think that would be better than upsetting them. They never want to see you again. Hare Krishna. And prasad, of course. Funny how that came up again. So let's do Pushpanjali now. Srila Prabhupada said of all of the elements on these appearance day and disappearance day celebrations, the most important is the Pushpanjali. So we'll do that. Offer our tea on that prasad. Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki.